We exist to see people reconciled to God and to one another. Hello, and thank you for visiting us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoyed this week's message and hope to see you soon.
Be who he's ultimately called you to be. Amen? Amen? All right. So, hey, we're in part three of this series that we've been doing for the past few weeks called Finding Happiness in an Unhappy World. Finding Happiness in an Unhappy World. And as I've kind of said for the past few weeks, here's what I really hope that you guys would do as a part of this series, that you would tweet about it, Instagram it, Facebook it. Matter of fact, go ahead and pull out your phone, man. You can post about it right now. Use the hashtag Happy People, not, you know, R. Kelly happy people, but Jesus happy people, not Pharrell happy, but the happiness that Jesus gives, but use that hashtag happy people so that way people can begin to find out more about this and can begin to find out more about happiness, because here's the reality, every person wants to be happy. I've never met a single person who doesn't want to be happy, and the people who you may encounter who say, I don't want to be happy, you know what, they're lying. Because every person wants to be happy. The issue is how we go about finding happiness. How we go about becoming happy. And a lot of times, like, we have misconceptions about what happiness is. Happiness is not a job. Happiness is not the dream job. Happiness is not more money. Happiness is not a bigger car. Happiness is not better circumstances. Happiness is not popularity or fame or like how many people you have following you on Instagram and how many people liked your post. That's not happiness. Happiness is not having a perfect body with like washboard abs because you work out in the gym 8 days a week, even though there's only seven. That's not true happiness. Those things can lead to a temporary euphoric feeling, but it's not true happiness. Happiness is not the quote-unquote normal family. I shared a few weeks ago that there is no such thing as a normal family. Like, we believe it because we'll see people posting on Instagram, we see people posting on Twitter, oh, they're just having so much fun with their kids. What they didn't show you was what happened and what they had to do in order to get that picture on Instagram. They didn't show you all the yelling that took place before that smile. All right? Like, there's no such thing as a normal family. So you can't say that, you know, I'll be happy. I would be so much happier if my kids just acted right. Here's the reality. They're kids. Right? Like, and they're born into a sinful and a fallen world, and all of us have this sin issue. Like, the reality is this, man. There's no such thing as a normal family. There's no such thing as finding happiness in all these temporary things. Because here's what happens. When we begin to say, if I just make a little bit more money, I'll be happy. And then what happens is you get a little bit more money, and then you say, if I can get just a little bit more, I'll be happy. And then you say, if I can get a little bit more, if I can get a little bit more, I'll be happy. And if happiness is always based upon temporary things, then you will always find that there will never be any true joy or satisfaction in your life. So what if happiness is something much greater than that? What is happiness then? We see it here in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 12. We've been walking through this book and these few verses here that is typically called the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is preaching and teaching to believers on the backside of a mountain, which is why it's called the Sermon on the Mount. And it's interesting because Jesus, as he's given this Sermon on the Mount, he opens up in chapter 5 and he begins to talk about what it means to be happy. And he's ultimately describing in this Sermon on the Mount how people of God should ultimately live their lives, and ultimately as well how people who are in the family of God begin to receive the blessings of God. And ultimately it's a picture to the world of what true blessing and what true happiness ultimately looks like. So from Matthew chapter 5 to chapter 7, you have Jesus preaching this long sermon on these different topics. But it's interesting because before he gets into all these other topics and all these other issues that are very relevant, and by the way, the Bible is very relevant. We don't have to make it relevant. It already is relevant. My job is to show you how it is relevant. And so Jesus is speaking something here that all of us really deal with, which is happiness. And so if you notice verses 3 through 12, he begins to say things like, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Now, it's interesting because that word blessed, as I've kind of been talking about the past few weeks, and if you've missed the previous messages, go online or up there, you guys can kind of catch up. But that word blessed in the original language actually is the Greek word makarios, which actually translates to happy. So here's what Jesus is ultimately saying. Happy are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Happy are the meek, for they will inherit the earth, which is what we're going to talk about today. But then in verse 6, he says, happy or blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed or happy are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed or happy are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So today we're talking about happy are the meek. Now you may be asking the question, what does meek have to do with being happy? Well, let me kind of just start here. Let me back up. Well-known Pastor Derwin Gray, he said this about happiness, and I love it. He says, Jesus' definition of happiness is more about becoming good than feeling good. We oftentimes think that happiness is equated with a feeling. No, happiness is more so connected to who you are becoming. And if you notice all throughout these few verses, these 9, 10 verses that we see here and that we just read, this doesn't have anything necessarily to do with what you do or with a feeling. It has more so to do with the character and who this person ultimately is. And so Jesus says, happy or blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. In other words, he's saying, happy people are meek people. Now, in case you don't know what meek means or meekness, and I'm not talking about like Meek Mill. Some of you guys are like, what is that? Don't worry about it. Just go Google them. What does it mean to be meek? Well, in the original translation, meek actually translates to being humble, to being gentle. Meek ultimately means to have not necessarily a passive disposition, but a disposition of one who is tender-hearted, one who has strength in their emotions under control. That's what a meek person is. Now, the reason why this is so huge and what Jesus is saying is huge is because we live in a world where you're ultimately encouraged to exhibit strength and to show it off. We live in a world that glorifies strength but dismisses humility. So when Jesus says, happy are the meek, it's really a countercultural thing, not just in the first century, which is the time in which Jesus is actually preaching the sermon to his believers. No, it's also countercultural in today's time. Because it's not popular to be humble. It's not popular to be meek. It's popular to exhibit the strength. It's popular to show people how strong you are. You know, one of the things that I hate about going to the gym sometimes, I try to work out on a regular basis. One of the things that I hate about the gym is there's a portion of my gym where, you know, there's all these different weights and all these different machines and cardio equipment and all this type of stuff. But the spot of the gym that I hate the most is the area in the gym where people do deadlifts. Now, in case you don't know what deadlifts are, let me just kind of make it real plain. It's when you're lifting a whole lot of weight, you're using your lower body, you're extending it all the way up, you're coming back down. And the reason why I hate that area is because people over there are insane. I'm going to tell you why they're insane. They're not insane because they're lifting a lot of weight. I mean, that's cool, and that's like, kudos, you lift a lot of weight. The reason why they're insane is because over here, all you hear is grunt after grunt after grunt. And I'm like, bro, we know you're here. We can see you. We don't need to hear you. Now, I understand you got to let out some tension and all that. I get it. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But when you're making sounds and so loud to where the whole entire facility can hear you, it's like, all right, man, you're trying to show off your strength. Now you're trying to, like, now you're trying to boast in yourself. Like, you're essentially saying, look at me, because you know what happens? I'm going to prove it to you. What happens is when they start grunting, everybody starts looking. Like, man, what's going on over there? I'm like, seriously? And you can see looks on people's faces like, man, I wish I could deadlift 600 pounds so I could grunt. Ugh! It's like, no, man. We glorify strength. But Jesus says meekness is not necessarily about glorifying strength. It's really about putting strength in its proper place. It's about being humble. It's about being gentle. That's what Jesus is ultimately talking about. We live in this culture where we glorify strength and glorify arrogance but denounce humility. We live in this culture where it's all about getting ahead by any means and at any means necessary. If you got to cut people off to get ahead, if you got to cut people off to get the promotion, do it. It's the rat race of life. That's the society that we live in. Y'all have heard the phrase, nice guys or nice people finish last. It's based upon this mentality that you got to do cruel, nasty things that are completely not filled with integrity to get ahead in life. In other words, it's saying you can't be meek, you can't be humble if you want to see good things happen in your life. In other words, if you want to experience true happiness, then that means you got to become a villain. You have to become nasty. Y'all ever seen the movie The Devil Wears Prada? Yeah. I love that movie. I know that's kind of weird, because you wouldn't expect your pastor to talk about, man, he loves The Devil Wears Prada. It's all my wife's fault, man. She got me watching crazy stuff. But I love the movie because the whole central character is I can't even remember her name, but very popular actress, and she plays this woman who's very successful in the modeling and the clothing and in the fashion world. But it's all come at a cost. Like, she cuts people down, she's nasty, she's arrogant. And there's one line in the movie that when I heard it, I was like, wow. That really captures the essence of what society is all about. It's one scene where she's sitting in the car with another character who's played by Anne Hathaway, who's kind of like her apprentice and kind of like her pupil. And Anne Hathaway kind of had this crisis moment where she's sitting in the car and she couldn't believe what her boss actually just did, where she overlooked one guy who deserved the promotion to give this promotion to this other person, and she was just heartbroken. And the main character, who is played by, I can't remember her name right now, somebody help me out. Meryl Streep, you guys are awesome. She said, in no uncertain terms, honey, everybody wants to be us. And I was like, man, at what cost? Cutting people off, nasty to people, not meek, not humble. You know people like that. And let's be honest, we've kind of done the same thing. I've done the same thing. Where sometimes to get what you want, you cut everything down in your path. Manipulate, maniacal, nasty with people, evil towards people, wicked towards people. And Jesus is ultimately saying, those people are not happy people. They look like they may be happy because they have this, they have that, they have the other. They have money, they have prosperity, they have all these things. But the reality is, they are not happy at all. Jesus says, happy are the meek. He teaches us that true happiness is found in meekness. It's found in humility. Here's a few things that I'm going to talk about what it means to be meek. Number one, meek is not something that you do, it's someone that you become. Being meek is not something that you do, it's something or someone that you become. Jesus is not concerned with you and I, quote unquote, doing meekness, if that makes sense. He's concerned about you and I embodying and being meek. That this makes up the totality of who we are. It makes up our character. It makes up who we are as a person. That we're characterized as being meek. How would the people on your job describe you and I? How would the people in our community describe us? Would they describe us as being people who are very selfish and people who are nasty and people, you know, who give people the bird and flick people off and cuss people out and talk bad about people on Facebook? Like, look at your Facebook status. Would that be characterized as a meek person or as an angry person? Right? Now, guys, we live in a climate right now. We live in a climate right now where there's not a whole lot of meekness in our country. Meekness ain't popular, y'all. But meekness leads to happiness. When Jesus says the meek. He's not talking about people who do this every now and then. He's talking about people who are meek. And now here's the secret about becoming meek. You don't become meek by trying to make yourself meek. No, only God can make a person meek. Why, you may be asking. Here's what Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. The Apostle Paul, he's writing to believers in Galatia. He says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." Here's what Paul is ultimately saying. There's the things of God that you should be doing, and there's the things of this world that you shouldn't. And you and I constantly live in this tension. You and I constantly feel this pull sometimes to, even though we may want to do what God's calling us to do and what we know God is wanting us to do, we still feel this tension to go in the opposite direction. But here's what he also says. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. In other words, Paul is saying when you're in Christ Jesus, your life is not about what you do. It's not about what you don't do. It's all about you resting in what Christ has done for you. So you don't live life under the auspice, I can't do this, I can't do that. No, you live life under the auspice and the perspective that because of what Jesus has done for me on the cross through his life, death, burial, and resurrection, I want to live for him. Which is why Paul says, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Then he says this, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. It's interesting that he would use the word witchcraft because in the Greek, it's actually connected to where we would get our word pharmaceutical. The use of drugs. It's interesting why Paul would say something like that. He keeps on going. He says, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. What is Paul ultimately saying? Is he saying that, hey, if you happen to mess up and you're a follower of Christ, that all of a sudden you're kicked out? No, 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 no. What he's saying is this. This is characteristic of somebody who is not living in the will of God. They're not in relationship with God, because there's a difference between falling short and there's a difference between this being who you are. Paul is saying that this is the acts of those who are outside of the will of God. But then Galatians 5 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. Some of your translations may say meekness. Gentleness and meek go hand in hand. And then also self-control. And against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Hey, by the way, single people, wouldn't y'all love to be with somebody who embodies love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness? Wouldn't you love somebody like that? Like, for those of us who are like in that stage of life, would it be better to like go by this versus like Googling what to look for in a man or a woman? Right? Like, God has already given us the blueprint. Find somebody who's loving, who has the joy of Christ, who's peaceful, who has patience, who's kind, who's good, who's faithful, who's gentle, who's self-controlled. Find somebody who resembles those things, who have the fruit of the Spirit taking place in their life, like that. Right? Wouldn't that be kind of cool? Yeah. Gentleness relates to meekness, walking in the Spirit. What Paul says means I'm focused on Jesus and I allow God to transform me into the image of Jesus. So here's what Paul is ultimately saying, that God is the one who births and produces meekness in your life, not you. So like, I don't become meek by saying, I want to be more meek. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to try harder. Because the reality is, no matter how hard you try, as long as you're doing within your own capacity, in your own strength, you will always fail. Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit, which connects with what Jesus says in John 15, that if you abide in me and I abide in you, if you stay connected to me because I'm the vine, you're the branch, I will produce the fruit through your life. So here's how meekness comes about and flows in my life. It flows through my life by me resting in Christ. What do I mean by that? It comes by me trusting in Christ, walking with Jesus, living for Jesus. That is when meekness begins to flow out of my life. Colossians 2 says this, So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith, as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Here's what I want to say. We don't become meek by trying more. We become meek by trusting more. Trusting who? Trust in Jesus. Like, you don't become more loving by saying, I'm going to be more loving today. How'd that work out for you last time? Like, y'all ever notice that the very thing sometimes you say you're not going to do, you end up doing? You know why that is? Because you're focused on the wrong thing. No, scripture says in Hebrews 12 that we fix our eyes on Jesus, because here's what happens. You become what you behold. So if I'm focusing on Jesus, then now what happens is God begins to shape me to be like Jesus. That's what it's about. That's what it comes down to. So maybe part of the reason why it's tough sledding to become a good husband is because I'm not focused on the perfect husband. His name is Jesus. Maybe part of the reason why I'm struggling with being a good parent or being a good spouse or whatever the case may be is because I'm not focused on the good father. Focus on everything else. You don't become meek by saying, I'm just going to be more meek. You don't know how to do that. Something that God has to produce through you. It's a supernatural thing. When you're rooted and trusted in Jesus, your life will have fruit to show for it. Meek people love themselves correctly, and they love their neighbors compassionately. So when Jesus says, blessed or happy are the meek, this is what he's talking about. That this is the totality of who they are. They are in covenant with me. And I begin to produce meekness through them. Here's the beauty of it. You may not recognize it as God is forming it in you, but other people around you will. So you'll have other people come up to you and say things like this as you're following Jesus, as you're abiding in Christ. They'll say things like, man, you're just so humble. Man, you're so loving. Like, how did you do that? You know what your responsibility is? I don't know. I follow Jesus, I guess, and he's doing it through me. It's an amazing thing. I had somebody tell me one time a few years ago, when I was going through like a crazy time in my life, just like bucking on people. And I'm not talking like just like cussing people out, not that. I'm talking like holy bucking on people, sanctified bucking on people. You know what I'm saying? And God was kind of working on me in that season and stuff like that. And he was kind of saying, hey, you're not as patient as you thought you were, because oftentimes you're trying to do it on your own. And so he kind of humbled me through that season. And then some time later, people who kind of knew me in one season began to say things like, man, you're so patient, man. How'd that happen? I was like, I don't even know when that happened. But the more I thought about it, I saw the transformation as I reflected on it. See, a lot of times we don't recognize the transformation process that God has taken us through because we're in it. Sometimes it takes people on the outside to be able to recognize the transformation process that we're going through. Does this make sense? He says, blessed, happy are those who are meek. But then this also means that not only is meekness something or someone that you become, but meekness is living a selfless life, not a selfish life. Jesus, he exemplified what true meekness is, what being meek is all about. Being meek, y'all, is not about what I can get. Being meek is all about, man, what can I give? How can I contribute, man? Like, this church was started 2 years ago, not based upon what people said they could get from it. It was based upon what people said, what can I give to it? Matter of fact, your life, I would even argue, is not the sum total of what you have taken. It's the sum total of what people may have invested in it. Meekness is about not what you can give me, but man, what can I offer up unto you? What can I serve you? That's countercultural to what society says, because society says, grab it by the throat. Society says, man, go get it and cut everything down in your process while you're getting it. Jesus says, it's more blessed to give than it is receive. Meek people understand this. Here's what Matthew 11, 29 says. Jesus says this about himself. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle. Remember I said meekness is not something you do. It's who you are. He says, I am gentle. I am meek and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you see what Jesus is saying here? He says, take upon yourself what I have to give you. I want to give you something. I want to bless you with something. Matthew 20, 28 says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Here's why Jesus is saying this. Jesus, the ultimate example of what meekness is. He shows us that meekness says this, that I want something for you, not from you. That's what it means to be meek. That I don't want something from you. I want something for you. So in other words, I want to see your relationship thrive. In other words, I want to see you become who God's called you to be. Like, I don't want to take anything from you. No, I want to give you something. That's what meek people do. Meek people say, it's not about me. It's about Jesus and what he wants to do for other people. That's what it is. Meek people are generous people. A meek person is focused on how they can serve rather than focused on how others can be served. How different would your life and my life look if we spent less time trying to be in first place and more time being in second place so that way others can go ahead of us? I know that's not popular, especially in our day and time, because we glorify first place. Matter of fact, Ricky Bobby said, if you come in second place, that's just a first place loser. Talladega Nights, in case you didn't know. We glorify that. Jesus says, whoever wants to be great among you, they must become the least. They must become a servant. Wouldn't it be awesome if we lived in a culture, in a community, where people thought less of themselves and more of other people? You know what would happen? You wouldn't have crimes the way you have happened in our community right now. You wouldn't see marriages breaking up because people are on an equal playing field and say, no, I want something for you. I don't want something from you. I want to give you something. I want to be a servant. How can I bless you? How can I go out of my way to help you? That's what it means to be a follower of Christ. That's what it means to be meek, because ultimately that's what Jesus did for us. That's the epitome of what the gospel message is about. It is the epitome of God and Jesus saying this, that because I want to see you a part of my family, I'm going to give everything I have to make that happen in the form of my life. That's what a meek person is. I know this is not the message that you probably came in here wanting to hear. You probably wanted to come in here and hear something like, Pastor, tell me that 10 days from now, the blessing from the Lord is going to come from on high. No. The blessing is going to come by you being meek. That's why he says, blessed are those who are meek. It's about serving, y'all. It's about wanting to reach out to other people. It's about wanting to help other people. Meek people look for ways to serve others and to lead them to Jesus. One of the things that God has been pressing on my heart all this throughout the course of the week, some of you guys know that my wife and I, Ariel, we were expecting our third child, and Joker just came out of nowhere on Monday. Was not prepared for this. He was supposed to come today. But sometimes God doesn't work on your timetable. So you got to be always ready. Come on, y'all real tight today. But the thing that God was kind of constantly pressing on me was, I want you to think about how you can serve her more than you've ever served her in your life before. And so now I'm kind of in this place where I'm thinking of, okay, like cooking and cleaning and all the extra stuff that sometimes that she will do. Because we got a nice little system. You know, she got a lot of things that she does. I got the little bit that I do. I'm just joking. I'm just kidding. I don't want you guys to think I'm a bad husband. Guys, please. Goodness gracious. But God was kind of speaking something clear to me. Like, hey man, you, like, she needs to rest. So you got to step up even more. Serve. Be meek. Yeah, and that means you're going to have to do some stuff sometimes that you don't want to do. That means you may have to step outside of your comfort zone. But last time I checked, there wasn't nothing comfortable about Jesus going to the cross. Like, it didn't feel good to have nails ripped through your wrist and your hands. It didn't feel good to be hung on a cross, some 9+ feet in the air, stretched out while your lungs are collapsing because you're struggling to breathe. It didn't feel good to have lashes all over your back and beat beyond recognition. That don't feel good. That's outside of your comfort zone in your own flesh. That's the epitome of service. But that's what it means to be meek. It means stepping outside of my comfort zone and being willing to serve others. But here's the awesome thing that God gives us. He gives us a promise that when you are meek, there's something great that he has for you. Notice what Jesus says at the end of this verse. He says, for they shall inherit the earth. What in the world does that mean? That means that the world is mine. Tony Montana, Scarface type thing. I'm busting out all the throwbacks today, y'all. No. That's not what he meant. He's actually quoting a scripture out of Psalm 37, verse 11, where he actually says this, but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. Now, to understand the context of this, listen to this. To understand the context of which Jesus is saying here, he's speaking to a mainly Jewish audience. And in this day and time, the Jewish people in that time, they were under Roman oppression. In other words, the Romans were occupying their land. And because they're like, this land is ours, we're ready for y'all to get out. And so they were waiting on this great deliverer to deliver them from the hands of Roman oppression. In other words, to kick the Romans out so that way their chose, their land could be theirs. That's what they thought it meant on the surface. Jesus had something so much bigger in mind. Jesus wasn't talking about a physical earth, like physical place and land. He was ultimately alluding to a new heaven that he would create and a new earth that he would create, which is what you see in Revelation chapters 20 through 22. He says, the meek will inherit the eternal blessings that have been established for them from the foundation of the world. In other words, Jesus says this, that I have made a promise over your life, that when you begin to align yourself in me, in other words, those who have received the gospel, those who have believed in Christ Jesus, what he did on the cross and what he's done through his resurrection, they have an inheritance. And here's the good news, y'all. This inheritance isn't just something that God wants you to experience once you die. No, this inheritance is something that he wants you to begin to experience right now. Like, this type of inheritance will begin to change the landscape of your household. This type of inheritance will begin to change the landscape of your personal life, of your health, of your finances. It begins to change everything, your outlook, your perspective, because you got an inheritance from God that can't be taken away from you. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Here's how I would summarize it, that God blesses those who humble themselves, not those who exalt themselves. God never blesses people who say, look at me, look how strong I am. No, scripture says that he opposes the proud, but he exalts the humble. He exalts the meek. And some of you guys are saying right now, hey man, I'm following Jesus, but life ain't good right now. Here's good news. When Jesus was preaching this sermon, he was preaching it during a time where there was injustice happening, where people were being oppressed, where people were being taken advantage of. But you know what he's doing by giving them this Sermon on the Mount, this picture of what happiness is? He's pointing them to something much greater than the situation they find themselves in. And so when you and I begin to lock in and key in on what God is saying right here through his word, happy are those who are meek, he will allow you to be, he will shape your perspective to the point where you no longer begin to focus on how bad your situation is, but you begin to look at something much greater than your situation. You begin to say things like, this situation that I'm in right now, it's bad, but God has something much greater on the other side of it. God has a promise on the other side of it. God has greater on the other side of it. And sometimes, I said this last week, and I'll say it again. Sometimes to get to the mountaintop, you got to go through the valley. Which means you got to humble yourself. And I know that's not popular. I know that's tough sledding. But it's necessary if you want to see God's promises be flowing through your life. The Western civilization, the place that we live in, Western Christianity says, man, you ain't got to do nothing at all. You're not going to suffer at all. You're not going to go through anything at all. You're not going to ever get sickness in your body. You're not going to ever get a bad doctor's report. If you just name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, call it, haul it, all this other type of stuff, that you'll be blessed and highly favored. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. The meek will have to go through some stuff, but the good news is there's an inheritance set aside for them. And that's the thing that you hold on to. So that's how you can go to your job Monday morning, crazy people on your job want to make you just do crazy stuff. Some of y'all have some real colorful things going through your mind right there. No, it begins to, it puts you in this posture where it says, man, it's really bad, but instead of me looking at how bad it is, God, what is it that you want to do through me in this situation? Because I know that you have a greater purpose. Matter of fact, your purpose is much greater than my pain right now. Help me to lock into that. Help me to see that. Blessed or happy are the meek, the humble, the gentle, the tenderhearted, people who have strength under control. They are happy people. And if you want to know what happiness is, it is found in Jesus through being meek. Show me a humble person, I'll show you a happy person. I have met so many people who have little to nothing, who have more happiness than people who have everything. I've met people who were like broke, like didn't even have two nickels to rub together to make a dime type broke. And they had more joy than the person who was getting paid six figures a year. How was that? Because they had this meekness from God. How? How is this? Because they understand that happiness doesn't come by the dollar signs and by the amount of money that's in your bank account or in your investment in your retirement fund. No, no, no. True happiness is found in Jesus and being meek. That's what it's found in being dependent on God. So my question is this: are you right now a meek person? Are you meek? Are you living for yourself, or are you living for others? Because there's something extraordinary that God wants to do in your life. He wants you to experience what true happiness is, but it's only going to come by you being meek, and that's only going to come by you resting in Jesus. I have never met a rich person. I've never met the person who had all these things that this world has to offer and not have Jesus and be happy. I've never met them, y'all. If you have met them, show them to me, and I will help you see how unhappy they really are. But I've met plenty of people who have a relationship with Jesus, who work in 6-7 days a week, who don't have a whole lot of money. Their life is not perfect, but they got the peace of God in their life. They have the joy of Christ in their life. They are able to sleep at night even though everything around them is crumbling, because they understand what Psalm 46:1 says, that God is my refuge and strength and ever-present help in a time of trouble. They know that. They know what Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I'm God. They can be still because they're resting in Jesus. I know people like that. And that's what God is calling us to. Happy are the meek, for theirs, for they will inherit the earth. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Band, you guys come on up. We're closing. Question I'm going to ask you, just to soul search your heart right now. What has God spoken to you just in this moment? What is it right now that he's put on your heart where he said, I'm calling you to a place of meekness. I don't want you living for yourself anymore. Stop living life trying to get something. No, live your life trying to give something. Live your life being humble like Jesus. Live your life being a servant. Pointing people to Christ. That's what it's about. That's where fulfillment comes, y'all. That's where joy comes. And I believe that he's calling all of us to it, myself included. And maybe for some of us in here, you look over your life and you're like, man, I haven't really been meek at all. I've been living life for myself. For me, it's all about getting more money. It's all about getting more resources. It's all about getting more prosperity. It's about getting a bigger house. It's about more. And Jesus says, that's not where happiness is found, man. Happiness is in you being meek, being humble, and loving others compassionately, loving God completely, loving yourself correctly. That's what it's about, being meek. Father, I thank you so much. In Jesus' name, because you have given us the greatest example of meekness in the form of your son, Jesus. You've allowed us to be able to see that meekness and being meek is not something that we do, it's someone that we are. That meekness is not about living a selfish life. Being meek is living a selfless life. You said, happy are those who are meek, for they will inherit the earth. God, you have a promise for us. You have a promise that you want to give us. And we see that come to fruition through us being meek. So for every person, Father, in the name of Jesus, who recognizes that they haven't been meek, myself included, I pray that you will bring us to that place where we can humble ourselves. Bring us to that place where we say we don't want to live for ourselves anymore. We want to live for you, Jesus. Jesus' name. While every head is bowed and every eye is still closed, if you're here this morning and you're saying, you know what, as I heard this message, I realized that I don't know Jesus. I realized that I'm so far from God. I got a lot of questions, but more importantly, I got a lot of voids in my life where I don't feel satisfied, where I don't feel fulfilled, I don't feel happy. And I want true happiness. And I heard today that true happiness is found in Jesus. So if that's your desire and you're saying, that's me, man, I want true happiness that's only found in Christ. Here's the good news, man. You can receive Jesus into your life today. You can become a part of the family of God. And it's really simple. It just comes by act of faith and step of faith. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And this is you, and you're saying, I want a relationship with God today. I want to become a part of God's family. I want true happiness that's only found in Jesus. If this is you, I want you to say these words after me. It's a prayer of confession, a prayer of faith. Where we're calling out to God. We're crying out to God saying, God, I want you. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the grave on the third day so that I could have a new life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for your grace. Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, be my Savior. Thank you for giving me true happiness. Thank you for giving me true joy. Thank you for giving me true fulfillment. In Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Every person said amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for what God has done. Come on, y'all can do better than that this morning. Come on. Hey, so check this out. If you made a decision just to give Christ your life just now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pull out that worship guide that we gave you, a long piece of paper. At the bottom is what we call a connection card. It says, my decision today. I want you to check that box that says, I'm committing my life to Christ. Check that box, because here's what we're going to do. We're going to send you guys some next steps as to how you can grow in your relationship with Christ, because the decision that you've made today is the single-handed greatest decision that a person and that you could ever make in your life. Like, this decision that you have made has radically